Welcome back to Condor Currents, the podcast that flows through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm Ty Garibay, president of Condor Computing, and I am pumped about today's episode. This episode is brought to you by Condor Computing, high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC-V processor IP provider, with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoCs shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. Today, we've got a fascinating mix. We're diving into some really clever work on accelerating diffusion transformers. We're going to explore a new framework for quantum error correction that actually thinks about system architecture. And on the new side, we've got a benchmarked RISC-V single board computer with some serious AI muscle, a paper on context-aware thread migration and multi-core RISC-V processors, and some exciting quantum microarchitecture research. Let's get into it. All right, first up from the archive, we've got a paper titled D-Star, Accelerating Diffusion Transformers via Spatial and Temporal Redundancy Reduction from Qi Zhang, Jiru Zhao, Yufeng, and colleagues. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. This is a computer architecture podcast. What are diffusion transformers doing here? Stick with me, because this is absolutely relevant to anyone designing accelerators or thinking about how AI workloads actually run on silicon. So let's set the stage. Diffusion transformers, or DITs as people call them, are the engine behind a lot of the impressive image and video generation you see today. Things like high-quality image synthesis, video generation, content editing, all of that is increasingly powered by DeepSeek-based models. But here's the catch. Unlike a standard neural network that does a single forward pass to give you an answer, diffusion models work through a multi-step iterative process. Think of it like a sculptor who doesn't carve a statue in one motion, but instead starts with rough clay and progressively refines it over dozens or even hundreds of passes. Each one of those passes is a full transformer inference run. You can see immediately why that's expensive. Now, the existing work to speed these things up has largely focused on what researchers call temporal redundancy, the idea that consecutive steps in the diffusion process look pretty similar to each other. If step 47 and step 48 produce nearly identical intermediate results, maybe you can cache some of that computation and skip redoing it. That's a reasonable insight, and it's been the dominant approach. But what Zhang Zhao, Feng, and colleagues are arguing is that this is only half the picture. You're leaving a lot of performance on the table if you only look at the time dimension. What D-Star does is add spatial redundancy reduction into the mix as well. So now you're attacking redundancy in two dimensions, both across TAV stems, which is the temporal axis everyone was already looking at, and within a single step across the spatial structure of the attention computation. In a transformer, attention is computed across tokens and in image or video generation. Those tokens represent spatial patches of the image or video frame. The insight is that not every patch is equally important at every step of the diffusion process. Some regions are highly active, others are basically just along for the ride. D-Star identifies those low-value regions and reduces the computation spent on them. Why does this matter for us as computer architects? Because this is fundamentally a workload characterization and scheduling problem. When you're designing an accelerator for AI inference, whether that's a dedicated NPU or an extended instruction set on a RISC-V core, you need to know what the workload actually looks like. If you understand that diffusion transformers have both temporal and spatial redundancy patterns, you can design microarchitecture features to exploit them. Think about it. You might want hardware support for fine-grained conditional execution, smart caching hierarchies that preserve interstep activations, or even dynamic token pruning in the attention engine. D-Star essentially gives architects a map of where the waste is. The other thing I love about this paper is the framing around accuracy degradation. A lot of the aggressive optimization approaches in this space cut corners in ways that visibly hurt output quality. D-Star's contribution is finding high redundancy regions in a principled way so that you're not just randomly dropping computation and hoping the model is robust to it. The accuracy performance trade-off is really the key challenge, and having a theoretically grounded way to identify what's safe to skip is exactly what you need before you start baking assumptions into hardware. Really solid work. Check the show notes for links to the full paper. Next up, also from the archive, we have Streaming QEC, Streaming Quantum Error Correction in Tightly Integrated Quantum Classical Systems via Certified Recurrence, from Panayiotis, Christou, Shuwen Kan, Hao Wang, and colleagues. And I have to say, this one hits close to home for me because the framing of the problem is almost identical to challenges we deal with. In classical processor design, it's just that the stakes in quantum are absolutely brutal. Here's the background. Quantum computers make errors, a lot of errors. The physical qubits that do the actual computation are incredibly fragile. They decohere, they get hit by noise, and even just measuring them can introduce errors. The whole field of fault-tolerant quantum computing exists to address this through quantum error correction, or QEC. The idea is that you encode one logical qubit across many physical qubits, continuously measure certain combinations of them, called syndrome measurements, and use those measurements to infer and correct errors without collapsing the quantum state you care about. It's conceptually elegant, but the implementation is a nightmare from a systems perspective. Here's why. QEC is not a batch process. It's a continuous real-time pipeline. You're measuring syndromes, shipping the data off to a classical controller, running a decoder algorithm to figure out what error probably occurred, generating a correction, and feeding that correction back to the quantum processor. And you have to do all of this fast enough to keep up with the qubit error rate. If your classical control system is too slow, errors accumulate faster than you can correct them, and the whole thing falls apart.
This is called the QEC cycle deadline, and it is unforgiving. What the authors are pointing out is that existing QEC simulators are great at evaluating circuits, noise models, and decoder algorithms in isolation, but they don't model the system-level resource contention that happens when you actually run this pipeline on real hardware. When syndrome data is streaming off the quantum processor, it has to compete for bandwidth, for compute cycles in the decoder, for memory in the controller. These are queuing theory problems, scheduling problems. They're the bread and butter of computer architecture. And yet the quantum computing community has largely been designing these systems without the kind of detailed microarchitectural modeling that classical architects take for granted. Streaming QEC introduces a simulation framework that lets you model the full QEC pipeline as a streaming workload across heterogeneous compute resources, controllers, classical processors, accelerators, communication links. The certified recurrence part of the name refers to a formal technique they use to verify that the system will consistently meet its timing requirements, not just that it sometimes does. That's crucial for a safety-critical real-time system from an architecture standpoint. This is really exciting because it suggests that quantum control systems are going to need the same kind of careful micro-architectural design that we apply to classical processors. You need to think about pipeline stages, buffer depths, scheduling policies, memory hierarchy, all the things that RISC-V architects like us think about every day. There's a real opportunity here for classical computer architects to contribute to quantum computing system design. And frankly, I think the cross-pollination is going to be incredibly productive. The authors are essentially building the architectural simulation infrastructure that the quantum field has been missing. Absolutely worth a read. Links in the show notes. All right, let's shift to the news. First up, the Milk V Jupiter 2 single board computer has been benchmarked, and the numbers are turning heads.
This board is built around the Sci-5 K3 system on chip and packs a 60 TOPS NPU minus, that's tier operations per second for AI inference. 60 TOPS in a single board computer form factor is genuinely impressive. For context, a lot of edge AI inference targets in the 10 to 30 TOPS range. So this thing is sitting comfortably above that. Now the Sci-5 K3 is a RISC-V based SoC, which makes this particularly interesting for our community. What we're seeing here is a RISC-V platform competing not just on raw processor performance, but on AI acceleration capability. That's a significant statement. For a long time, the knock on RISC-V and Edge AI was that the ecosystem and the companion accelerator IP weren't mature enough to compete with ARM-based alternatives. A board like this, with validated benchmark numbers showing competitive TOPS performance, is a direct rebuttal to that narrative.
At Condor Computing and across the Andes technology ecosystem more broadly, we've been saying for a while that RISC-V's true strength in Edge and embedded markets isn't just about the base ISA. It's about the extensibility that lets you attach exactly the right accelerator for your workload without being locked into someone else's roadmap. A 60 TOPS NPU alongside a RISC-V application processor is a perfect example of that philosophy in action. You've got a capable open standard processor core handling general computation and a specialized accelerator handling the heavy AI lifting. The benchmarking coverage from Geeky Gadgets gives the community real data to work with, not just marketing claims, but actual measured performance across workloads. That's what moves the ecosystem forward. When developers can look at real numbers and say, okay, this RISC-V SBC can handle my inference workload, they start porting frameworks, optimizing libraries, and the whole ecosystem gets stronger. This is exactly the kind of momentum that RISC-V needs in the edge AI space. I'll link to the full benchmark coverage in the show notes.
Next news item, there's a new paper out in Wiley Online Library on thread migration using context cache for multi-core RISC-V processors. This one is squarely in the computer architecture wheelhouse, and it's addressing a problem that gets more important as we scale up core counts. So here's the challenge. In a multi-core processor, the operating system is constantly making decisions about which thread runs on which core. Sometimes it makes sense to move a thread from one core to another, minus maybe the balance load, maybe because a core needs to be powered down for thermal reasons, maybe because the thread has affinity for data that's closer to a different core in a non-uniform memory architecture. This is called thread migration, and in principle, it's a great tool for performance and efficiency. In practice, it's expensive.
Why is it expensive? Because when a thread is running on a core, it's built up a warm cache. Its data is sitting in that core's private L1 and L2 caches. The moment you migrate it to another core, all of that cache data is on the wrong chip.
The thread starts executing on its new core, immediately starts generating cache misses, and you pay a huge penalty in memory access latency while the new core's caches warm up. For workloads that are memory intensive, this can completely wipe out any benefit you hope to get from the migration. What this paper proposes is using what they call a context cache to mitigate this problem, specifically on RISC-V multi-core platforms. The idea is to capture and preserve the relevant working set of a thread when it migrates so that the new core can quickly reconstruct a warm cache state rather than starting from cold. It's a bit like if you were moving offices and instead of leaving all your reference books behind and ordering new ones, you got to bring a snapshot of the most important ones with you. The RISC-V angle here is interesting because RISC-V's clean ISA and open specification make it easier to prototype architectural extensions like this without fighting against a proprietary architecture's constraints. Researchers can actually implement and measure these ideas on real RISC-V hardware or cycle-accurate simulators in ways that would be much harder on closed ISAs.
And the multi-core RISC-V ecosystem is growing rapidly as we see more RISC-V chips with 4, 8, 16 cores shipping in real products. The OS-level scheduling and thread management challenges become increasingly important. This is good, timely research. Check the show notes for the full paper link. Last news item of the day, and this one ties back nicely to our streaming QXE paper. IEEE Computer Society is covering a project called QMA, Quantum Microarchitecture, which researchers describe as bridging the gap in quantum processor system stacks. And that phrase, bridging the gap, is doing a lot of work here because the gap they're talking about is significant. The situation in quantum computing right now is that you have a well-developed physical layer. People understand qubits, gates, error rates, pulse sequences, and you have a well-developed algorithm layer, quantum algorithms, circuit compilation, logical qubit abstractions. What you don't have, at least not in a mature form, is the middle layer. In classical computing, we call that the microarchitecture.
It's the stuff between the instruction set and the physics, the pipeline, the execution units, the memory hierarchy, the control logic. Classical microarchitecture took decades to develop, and it's the reason your laptop can execute billions of instructions per second efficiently. Quantum computing essentially doesn't have that layer yet. QIMA is an attempt to define what quantum microarchitecture looks like. How do you take a logical quantum circuit and efficiently schedule it onto physical qubits while managing error correction overhead? Qubit connectivity constraints and real-time control requirements, these are fundamentally microarchitectural questions. The researchers are bringing classical computer architecture thinking, pipeline design, resource allocation, instruction scheduling, and applying it to the quantum domain. I find this genuinely exciting, not just as an academic exercise, but as a signal about where the quantum computing industry is heading. The fact that IEEE Computer Society is covering this means the classical architecture community is paying attention.
And as someone who spends a lot of time thinking about processor design for RISC-V, I can tell you that the mental models we use thinking about latency, throughput, resource hazards, scheduling windows more translate remarkably well to the challenges the QMA team is tackling. The fields are going to learn a lot from each other over the next decade. And when you combine QMA with streaming QEC, what you're seeing is the beginning of a real systems architecture discipline for quantum computing, not just physics experiments, but engineered systems with defined interfaces, performance models, and optimization layers. That's when a technology starts to become an engineering discipline. And that transition is really exciting to watch. Links to the full IEEE piece in the show notes. All right, that's a wrap on today's Condor Currents.
We covered some really exciting ground, DSTAR's elegant approach to attacking both spatial and temporal redundancy and diffusion transformer inference, streaming QEC's much-needed system-level perspective on quantum error correction pipelines, a 60 TOPS RISC-V SBC that's putting real numbers on the board for edge AI context cage-assisted thread migration for multi-core RISC-V systems, and the emergence of QMA as a formal quantum microarchitecture framework. Lots of threads to pull on, and I hope you leave today's episode with some new ideas to chew on. Condor Currents, brought to you by Condor Computing, part of Andes Technologies RISC-V processor IP portfolio. If you're not already subscribed, please hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. It genuinely helps us grow the show and reach more of the architecture community. Tomorrow, we're back with more cutting-edge architecture research and RISC-V development, so don't miss it. See you then.